excited about the evening. Thank you for being in church tonight, and we're so excited to see you and thankful that you're back here. We're, of course, continuing our missions month and mission services, and I know that probably many of you dropped in a Faith Promise missions card and the offering plates on the way out this morning, and perhaps some of you came ready tonight to do that, and we want our church to be voting, as it were, for what we're going to do for worldwide missions, and we're so excited tonight to have Brother Snyder. He's going to come preach for us in just a little while, and so we want to make sure that we listen. The Lord's going to bless us and lead in that special way. But before that, we'll see a video also of BIMI. But before that, even, we want to have Brother Jackson's going to come, and he's going to open up our service in prayer. But before he does, he's going to share a little bit about the ministry, Amazing Grace. And our church is very familiar with it. Why don't you come on up, Brother Jackson? And he's here, of course, this week for the fair and trying to reach as many folks with the gospel of Jesus Christ as he can. And I'm going to ask him to come and share the ministry there and just let you know a little bit more about Amazing Grace Missions. And then he's going to pray for our service as well. Brother Jackson, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Pastor. How's everybody doing tonight? Good, good. Well, thank you for amazing for the Buffalo Ridge letting us come and be here. We're in the little RV out here, and but just want to let you know a little bit what we do and how we got started. Started back in 83. It was a pastor, Brother Gardner, James Gardner. He was a Baptist preacher, and he grew up on a farm, and he used to take his cows to the fair and, you know, get prizes or whatever. Like, and he said he got saved and he wanted to win souls. So how could I hear Christ at the fair? And so he started trying to figure out a way to do it. Now, I'll share this first one. This is kind of a little different. We don't use this now, just so you know that. But he dealt the box and he said, now what? And it had it on their sign. It says, where would you be when you look like this? And out there at the fair, people walking by, and they see the, and they look in the box, and it has a skull in it. Now, we don't do that anymore. So that's the way it started, at least one way it started. But now we have a tool, and all we are, like in Acts, the book of Acts, we're marketplace evangelism. People out on the market doing whatever, and people walking by, and we're just looking for anybody to take interest in what we have at our booth. And so we've got a tool that says three things God cannot do. And we've got it out there. As you walked in, you may have seen it. And he said, well, what can God not do? Well, the Bible says he cannot lie. And in the second door says, well, he cannot change. And the third door says, well, he cannot let anybody to heaven unless you've been born again. Amen. That's the key one. And then we got a banner. If you looked at our banner, makes it real simple to share the gospel, to get the conversation going. Are you 50, 75, 100% sure you're going to heaven? Then that gets right past the religion or whatever thing. You either know you're going or you don't know. And if they say, well, sure, I know I'm going. I'm 100%. Well, how do you know? And then sometimes I get silence. You know, anybody that's soul wind, you know what happened? Well, I'm a good person. And then you know we got trouble. So that's just the idea. I'm not trying to tell you how to share the gospel. Just tell you how we do it. But as far as getting here, coming to this fair, many of y'all remember Brother Joe Norton. He came. He had contacted Brother Lashley, and this is probably over 20 years ago at least. And he heard about the fair here. Y'all got a nice fair here, and Brother Lashley and Brother Norton kind of hit it off good, and Joe Norton started coming here with his RV and working at the fair here. And my wife's Debbie, she's out here. We met Brother Joe when we moved to Asheville and started attending church there, Temple Baptist. And, so it happened to be there's a fair in Asheville called the Mountain State Fair, North Carolina Mountain State Fair. And we found out the ministry through that fair. And they had a sign-up sheet. Y'all seen the sign-up sheet? Anybody seen the sign-up sheet out here, maybe? Well, they had a sign-up sheet there in Asheville at the temple, at our church there. Little slots, 2-3 hours, to say most of my hours were 3-hour slots to work the fair booth. And so my wife worked that. I think she worked another shift. I worked with a guy. She worked with a lady at two different shifts. And we thought that was pretty neat because people could He had a way to share the gospel. See, we got a booth out here. It's got tables in the back where we can, you can actually sit down with somebody and they can and have the King James Bible ready to share it with them right there and get a decision. And that's what we did. We learned about it there in Asheville. And then Joe said, why don't y'all come help me? And so we started right going with him with the fair, starting back in 07. We started coming, and that's the first time we came to your fair here. So, but the main thing I want to show you is when we're out there trying to aggressively share the gospel, we're not a tract ministry. We give out tracts, but we're trying to get their attention to we can actually open the Bible and share it with them. So that gives you an idea of what we do out there. I think that's all I have to think. And when we get to the gospel, we share the same gospel y'all share, the Romans Road. Yep, something like that. I think that covers it pretty well. All right, well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this church that it seeks to get the gospel out to this area and throughout the world. And we know that the world needs it, and we know people in America need it too, and people in our neighborhoods need it. And pray that we would, as church, we would continue to get the gospel out. And I do pray your blessing upon the fair ministry this week at the fair, that you would bring hearts that are open and hear the truth and be saved. Thank you for those that can come out and help us at the fair. And I pray now you're blessed with what goes on here tonight. Brother Snyder, as he comes and preaches, give him the words he needs to share with us that we need to hear tonight. Bless their mission emphasis. And thank you for all the missionaries they support out of this church. Pray you'd use them to get the gospel out, and not only in America, throughout the world. We love you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for Calvary. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Stand with me one more time, if you would. 165 in your hymn book. 165. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see forever. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see
my Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. That's number 455 in your hymn book.
My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. For Thee all authority of sin I
my gracious Redeemer,
my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus is Thou.
I'll love Thee in life,
I'll love Thee in death.
And praise Thee as long as Thou givest me breath,
and say when the heaven lies cold on my brow, if ever I love
my
Jesus.
In mansions of glory and endless delight, while ever adored in heaven so bright, I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If
amen. What a wonderful joy it is to be able to sing for our Lord and to our Lord this evening. Well, there's just so much that's going on at Buffalo Ridge. We're so glad for it. We just want to cover a couple things before we watch a brief video. And just want to remind you as you go tonight, we just want to point your attention to those few things that we mentioned this morning as you go. If you would like to get a church t-shirt, an I Love Gray t-shirt, you can stop by and see Miss Anna Snyder in the lobby as you go. She'll have the sign-up sheet to get the different sizes and different things. And at $7 a shirt, as Pastor said this morning, doesn't quite cover the cost, but just to a little bit offset that and give you an opportunity to get a church t-shirt in that way. And then also, she's going to be taking sign-ups for the ladies' Bible study book that they're going to be using as well. So you see her in the lobby afterwards. She'll be able to help you out with that. And then also, after the service, if you'd still like to sign up for the Amazing Grace booth, as Brother Jackson just spoke about that a few moments ago, you can still do that. And then our church booth meeting will be down the hall in the Berean classroom right after the service. You can make your way down there if you signed up, or if you plan to do it and you haven't quite signed up yet, and we'll cover some basic information so you can be prepared when the day begins tomorrow, if you're going to be there, or throughout the week as you're going to be there throughout the week this week. And then just that final reminder we mentioned this morning, if you are interested in getting your CDL so you can be involved with the different ministries, whether it's the bus ministry or maybe driving for trips now and again here at the church, we're going to have an interest meeting next Sunday night at 6 o'clock before the service in the Berean classroom. So if you'd like to think about that through throughout the week and then just come to that meeting next week. We'd love to have you with that meeting next week. All right. Well, that's just all of our announcements. Want to cover them briefly. And so this time, we're so glad to have the Snyders here. You may have heard him in Sunday school or maybe got to meet him briefly through the time in the morning service or after the service this morning. But at this time, we're going to see a video. He's the president, general director of BIMI. We're going to show just a brief video to show you what BIMI does for missionaries and to see a little bit of the behind the scenes that they do to enable the many missionaries that he mentioned this morning that they are able to help facilitate to get to the field. So we're going to see this video at this time, and then after that we'll hear a special in just a few moments.
In June of 1960, recognizing the need to form an organization that would assist missionaries and their partnering churches, a group of local church pastors founded Baptist International Missions Incorporated. From its first days, BIMI has remained focused on assisting local churches and their missionaries with the logistical challenges associated with carrying out the Great Commission. Today, we remain committed to the job of planting churches around the world. As delegated servants of local churches, we recognize that our only authority comes from those churches. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul presented the biblical principle for what is often referred to as faith promise or grace giving. In these chapters, Paul used the example of the churches in Macedonia to encourage the Corinthian church to follow through with an offering they had committed to give 1 year earlier. In this exhortation, Paul also mentioned that the offerings received from the Macedonian churches were entrusted to an unnamed spiritual brother of genuine integrity who was chosen of the churches to assist in the administration of the offering. This describes one of the aspects entrusted to Baptist International Missions. BIMI has been chosen by some 7,000 different churches to distribute the offerings given by grace to hundreds of missionaries around the world. One of our most important responsibilities is getting these offerings from the donors to the missionaries. This is an awesome responsibility. Providing for things honest, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men, is one of our highest priorities. This is why we have an independent audit conducted every year to verify that we honor that commitment. But the distribution of missionary offerings is not the only logistical challenge faced by local churches, missionaries, and their sending churches. Modern-day missionaries must obtain visas for the country in which they will serve. Financial accounts must be established both in the USA and in the missionary's country of service with a systematic means to get missionaries their funds. The missionary must carefully consider their tax liability in both the United States as well as the country in which they labor. Sending churches often wonder about providing quality international health insurance for their missionaries. They are also concerned with the logistics of evacuating their missionaries from lands around the world in the event of health emergencies or civil unrest. Missionaries also need tools such as prayer cards, the ability to send prayer letters to partnering churches, and ministry videos. BIMI serves the missionary, their sending church, and all of their supporters by assisting in each of these areas and more. We provide training and assistance for missionaries as they carry out their pre-field, on-field, and furlough ministries. We assist pastors in overcoming the myriad of challenges their missionary will encounter throughout their lifetime of service, whether in the States or on the foreign field. Thus, the services provided by BIMI make it possible for churches and missionaries to more fully focus on their evangelistic, discipleship, and church planting ministries.
For more than six decades, BIMI has assisted missionaries and their partnering churches as they encounter the many challenges of carrying out the Great Commission. Churches and missionaries can be confident that by partnering with BIMI, they have years of hands-on experience behind them. If you believe that God is calling you to full-time missionary service, please consider joining with BIMI. I would encourage you to work closely with your pastor and learn more about us by visiting our website or by contacting us directly. We would love the opportunity to partner with you as you fulfill God's calling for your life. We want churches to know that every day we strive to do our job efficiently and compassionately. Our desire is to make ourselves readily available to our missionaries and their supporters in order to assist in every way possible. As we do our job, we are working hard to get every possible dollar into the missionaries' hands so that they can do the job God has called them to do more effectively. Baptist International Missions Incorporated is a mission agency that is operated solely by faith. We are directed by a board of trustees comprised of more than 20 independent Baptist pastors who volunteer their time and resources. Neither I, as the president, nor any of our field directors receive a salary. Like the missionaries we serve, our administrative personnel must raise their own financial and prayer support and trust God to provide for them through local churches. However, there are many secretaries and staff members working at the World Mission Center who cannot raise their own support. Additionally, there are many expenses such as insurance, electricity, postage, and taxes that are associated with the everyday operations of the World Mission Center. To meet these needs, many local churches regularly contribute to the general fund of BIMI. We are extremely grateful for those churches which support the general fund on a monthly basis and thus play a part in the lives and ministry of every BIMI missionary. However, there is a need for additional monthly support. If you do not presently contribute to the general fund of BIMI, would you please pray about financially helping us as we serve missionaries and the churches that support them? There are still many more countries and many more people who need to be reached with the gospel. Laboring together with missions-minded churches, BIMI stands ready to provide a high standard of services to those individuals God has called to go into His vast and ripe harvest field.
Well, as the galleons come to sing, all the children, sixth grade and under, can follow me. We're going to head over to the Kids on a Missions program.
Without purpose or plan, when trying his servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. I could not see through the shadows ahead, so I looked at the cross of my Savior instead. I bowed to the will of the Master that day. Then peace came and tears fled away. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens his children and purges in love.
My Father knows best, and I trust in His care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Stephen. What a wonderful song and a great reminder. And thank you. Thank you so much for reminding us of that, and wonderfully, beautifully done as well. Well, it's been a great day in God's house, and many of you got to hear Brother David Snyder, and you saw the video there, what he does, but not only him, a whole army of people at BIMI, but he's privileged to serve in the capacity that God has placed him, and it's our privilege to get to have him here tonight. And for those of you who didn't hear this morning, of course, this is Brother Kyle's dad and mom, Miss Barbara, and Brother David Snyder, and we're so thankful that they're our guests here tonight. And so I'm going to ask him to come to the platform at this time. He's going to come preach for us, and he has got a heart for missions. He desires to see the gospel get around the world, and I can't think of a better person to have here to preach to us tonight. We had a delightful time being at lunch today, and I got to fellowship with he and his wife, and it was just a joy. And so I know that you're going to enjoy this evening, so just relax. Let the word of the Lord speak to your heart tonight. Brother Snyder, come preach to us. Thank you.
Table set up in the back, and we'd love for you to come by there and just kind of wipe us out. Okay, I mean, take the stuff. That's what we want. Okay, all that material's on there, but don't take it just to take it. Take it to read it. Okay, two things that I'll call your attention to on the table. A lot of times, folks ask me about the BIMI World Magazine because they say, "Well, do you have to pay for those?" Well, you know, since not many of them went this morning, what I'm going to do is, okay, normally they're free. Tonight, they're half of that, okay? So you cannot beat that deal. It is a great deal, okay? And it'll make my suitcase a whole lot less heavy on the way home, okay? So there's this one, and then there's the previous version to this one as well. I think both of them will be a blessing to you. This year, we've been using promoting God's saving health among all nations. Obviously, physical health is on the mind of many today. But the spiritual health is on the mind of Jesus Christ. Those who have the sin virus that can only be cured by salvation through Jesus Christ. So I think it'll be a blessing to you. So pick either one of those up, either one of those volumes up, take that with you. And then one other one. Brochure. Some of you may want this brochure just to look at the pictures and everything else, but if for no other reason, if you look hard enough in here, you may find summer straws in this brochure, all right? So you have a famous person that goes to church here. Praise the Lord, all right? Now listen, I want to invite you to Camp Bimini, particularly young people. If you're 16 years of age or up and you say, what's young? I'm not going to answer that, okay? You answer that. But I will tell you this, in this past Camp Bimini, we had people there from ages 16 up to 65. And it's for couples, it's for singles. If you have an interest in missions, God's called all of us to the Great Commission, to go into all the world, to preach the gospel to every creature. That's the job that we've been given. So how do we fit into that? What is it that God wants us to do?
That, in a nutshell, is what Camp Bimini is all about. And there's obviously no way I can give you all the details. I'd love to. It'd be fun. But I'll just say, hey, when you get an opportunity, talk to Summer. Ask her what she says about it. If she says anything bad, let me know about it, okay? But I think it was a good experience for her, and many of you in here are very familiar with Camp Bimini. But again, I would remind you, pick one of these up, and perhaps maybe it's not you that you're thinking of when you pick that up, but pick it up and give it to someone else that you know who might be interested in missions. So again, we appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you for showing the video, just to give, like you said, just a little glimpse of what goes on around the home office and the missionaries and that we serve. And again, you're one of those churches that we have partnered with for decades, and we want to say thank you, and thank you for the opportunity to partner together to fulfill the Great Commission. Take your Bibles now with me and turn to Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. As you turn there, let me just say to you as a church, thank you again for having us here today. You've treated us like royalty. Great place to stay and great meal, great fellowship. You know, the student pastor guy, you know, we're still checking him out, okay? But, you know, we've enjoyed our time here. We really have. So thank you. The gift basket that was there for us, just so many touches, I guess it would be the way to say it. Thank you for what you've done to make our stay here very enjoyable. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9, it was interesting to me this morning when Pastor talked about how the Lord was speaking to him and the message that he brought, and this was the message God had laid on my heart for tonight, and I thought, wow, at least in my mind, this dovetails together with the message this morning, and God has a way of doing that, by the way. I guess the task now is to get it from how it dovetails in my mind out there so that everybody else sees how it dovetails too, but Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9, simple verse, let me read it for you. Paul says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I want to remind you of something that perhaps you've thought about, and if you haven't, I want you to think about it. This has been Missions Month. Satan does not like what is taking place at this church this month. Matter of fact, he hates it. Let me also say this, God is well pleased with what's going on here this month and the emphasis on missions. But as God is working in your heart, perhaps it's something that God has spoken to you about for praying more for missionaries or going to someone that you know or someone that you work with to witness to them. Perhaps it has to do with your giving to missions. But whatever it is that God's spoken to you about, let me remind you, Satan is going to fight you on that thing. He's going to try to discourage you after this month is over and say, wow, what kind of a commitment did you make? What were you thinking? What's wrong with you? You can't do that. And he will just kind of crawl up on your shoulder and try and discourage you from whatever it is that God has laid on your heart to do. And so tonight, I want to be from God's word an encouragement to say this, don't faint. Continue on. Keep on keeping on. You know, we live in a crazy world, and I think it's getting crazier with every passing day. And as I think about this verse of Scripture, I'm going to just break it up into three different parts tonight. I'll let the punctuation break it apart for us. First of all, I want to talk about the call to tireless well-doing. He says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Number two, the certainty of reaping. He says, for in due season we shall reap. But then finally, the condition of the promise. He says, if we faint not. As we read that first part of the verse there, he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Dare I say, many here tonight are weary, especially if you didn't get your Baptist nap this afternoon, okay? You know, we all understand, we know what it is to be weary, but obviously the Apostle Paul here is talking about the spiritual battle and in the spiritual realm. He says, let's not become weary. And as I read that and as I thought about it for myself, I thought, okay, how do I keep from becoming weary? Weary, because I don't want to become weary. Well, as I thought it through, I realized that the things that I do in the physical realm to keep from becoming weary, and I make that application over here in the spiritual realm, it applies and it works. Let me give you a few examples of things that I thought about. Number one, to keep from becoming weary, we must get the proper daily nutrition that our body needs. We need to eat right. I mean, that's just a plain fact. Hey, listen, I got to tell you, just so you know this, I love Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Amen. I mean, you know, if they don't get an amen anywhere else in the message tonight, I've got to get one there. I mean, that's just the way it is, okay? Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Now, listen, it's got protein in it because it's got peanut butter, so it's got to be good for you, all right? But if my entire diet was Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, and maybe a little coffee to go with it or something, okay? If my entire diet was that, after a while, that sugar high, it would all of a sudden just drop off. Boy, I'd be just laid out flat, taking a long nap, okay? Why? Because I'm not eating correctly. Spiritually speaking, you and I, we need to eat correctly. You say, what do you mean, Brother Snyder? We need to be in God's Word regularly. The milk of God's word, the meat of God's word. The psalmist said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I don't know if it's already a habit in your life or not, but if you don't already have the habit of getting alone with God at least once a day, getting into His Word and reading it and let God speak to you, let me encourage you, make that a habit. You say, why? Listen, any commitment that you've made to Lord Jesus Christ to pray or to give or to go, He's going to want to discourage you. You better make sure you're in God's Word regularly. And by the way, if you're like me, you might say, Brother Snyder, that's a habit I've had for a long time in my life. I get alone with the Lord once a day or twice a day, whatever. I spend that time with the Lord. Let me encourage you in the way I have to encourage myself. You know, sometimes I'll get down there to my chair, I'll open up the Bible right to this place where I'm going to be reading that day, and I'll start reading, and I'm halfway through that first chapter, and I don't remember a thing I just read. Why? Because my mind's on the to-do list. My mind is on this or that problem or how we're going to solve that. You know, and then I got to start all over again. Let me encourage you, when you get alone with the Lord, get alone with the Lord. And spend that time getting that nutrition spiritually that you need. Here's another one. Number two, exercise. Boy, that hurts just to say it almost, you know. But exercise, when I exercise, boy, I feel so much better and I don't become weary nearly as quickly. And spiritually speaking, it's true as well. Let me give you these examples. Number one, 1 Timothy 4:7, Paul says, but refuse profane and old wise fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Godliness just doesn't drop into our lap one day. We have to exercise ourselves unto godliness. You know, and sometimes exercise is one of those things that when we approach it, we think, oh, I don't know if I can do this. But as we exercise, when we're done, we say, boy, I sure am glad I did this. And can I just put it in this context? This is an exercise unto godliness. We're following the example of Jesus Christ. We're following the example that God has given to us. You say, what do you mean? God sacrificed and sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who submitted to the will of the Heavenly Father and came to this earth and died on the cross. He went into the grave. He rose again the third day. Why? So that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What is God calling us to do? God's calling us to sacrifice, to submit to the will of the Heavenly Father so that the message of Jesus Christ, the fact that He died, that He was buried, that He rose again, can be preached among all nations. This is an exercise unto godliness. Let's make sure we exercise as we should. Here's another one. Acts 24, verse 16, Paul says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Keep your conscience clear. Two things he talks about there towards God. Whatever it is God's laid on your heart concerning missions, follow through with it. You know, you might say, well, okay, I made a commitment here and I'm going to give once a week, X number of dollars, whatever it is. Follow through. Keep a clear conscience. If that's a commitment you've made, by the way, you don't make that commitment to your pastor. You don't make that commitment to the deacons. You don't make that commitment to me. You don't make that commitment to the missionaries. This is a commitment that you're making to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God Almighty, through this local church. And if you miss, you won't have a clear conscience between you and God. And you know what happens when you miss once? It's easier to miss twice. And when you miss twice, it's easier to miss the third time. So let's make sure we exercise ourselves to have a clear conscience between us and God. But then also it says, not only between us and God, but void of offense toward God and toward men, toward one another. Let me encourage you in this way. Satan would love to come into this church just as this mission month ends, and he would love to divide and conquer. He would like to see petty little things cause division within this church. Keep short accounts one with another. Keep clear consciences. Hey, listen, if somebody offends you, don't decide you're going to hate them for the rest of their life because they, whatever, fill in the blank. Do what the Bible says. Kindly go to them and explain to them. By the way, 90-some percent of the time, they don't even know they offended you. But get it right and keep the unity within this church. Why? So that you can have an effective outreach to all the world, to preach the gospel to every creature. Let's make sure we exercise unto godliness. Here's another one. This is an easy one. Hey, we got to get to proper rest. We know that if we don't get the right amount of sleep, we become weary. Spiritually speaking, it's the same thing. Jesus said this in Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I remind you that when God speaks to our hearts about doing something for Him, it's basically like getting in the yoke with Jesus Christ. Yoke up with Him. Rest in Him. Listen, don't try and do whatever it is He's putting on your heart to do. Don't try and do it in your own strength. You will fail. Do it in His strength. Rest in Him, in the power of His might. Trust in Him. Get the rest we need in Jesus Christ. Here's one more I'll mention as well. To not become weary, we need to have our eyes focused. Now, for those of you who don't wear glasses, you will not appreciate that as much as appreciate this as much as those of us who do. But you see, I've worn glasses pretty much all my life, and right now, y'all are just a bunch of big blobs to me. That's all I can see out there. And this really strong prescription. And I'll tell you what, as I was growing up, I realized there were times I had to go without my glasses because they would break. Typical boy, you know, I played basketball, and you take an elbow to the side of the head and glasses go different directions, you know, pieces, it's a bad thing. I remember one time I was playing basketball in a tournament, and that happened. My glasses went different directions, and they brought the pieces to me, you know, and I'm holding the glasses up, and I'm looking out in the stands for my mom, and the mom, being the mom that she is, she reaches into her purse. And she pulls out a roll of masking tape, and she throws it to me out on the court. And I'm out there winding it up. Boy, I've got it. I am the biggest geek you have ever seen, but I was so happy because I could see. I could see clearly because without my glasses, I was always doing this. I was trying to squint, trying to see where I was going. It wore me out to not be able to see correctly. Hey, you and I need to have the right focus spiritually. Our focus needs to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, there are already storms in our world. There's going to be more storms in this upcoming missions year. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay focused on Him. Hebrews chapter 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then the writer says this in verse 3, for consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our focus on Him. Now, I need to get back to Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary, he says this, in well-doing. What's well-doing? Well, we can make a long list tonight. But this is missions month, so let's focus on one thing in particular. Missions. I want to remind you that missions is well-doing. The Bible tells us that. You're there in Galatians. Just flip over a little bit to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And as you turn there, I want to remind you, this is one of the churches at Macedonia that Paul is writing to. And as he's writing to them, Philippians chapter 4, look there with me, starting in verse number 14. He says, notwithstanding ye have, and what are the next two words? Well done. He says, this is well-doing. This is what you did that was well done. What is that? That ye did communicate with my affliction. And then he goes on to explain. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Watch. An odor of a sweet smell. A sacrifice acceptable. Well-pleasing to God. Missions is well-doing. And I'm going to get very specific because God's word gets specific. Missions giving is well-doing. So much so that Scripture here says it's an odor of a sweet smell. That sacrifice, that offering that they sent to the Apostle Paul, he says that's an odor of a sweet smell. Have you ever thought about this? When you drop that missions offering in the offering plate, you realize there is a sweet aroma that arises to the throne of God in heaven. He says that this is a sacrifice that's not just acceptable, it's not just pleasing, it is well-pleasing. I don't know about you, that's what I want to be part of. That which is well-pleasing to God. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Why? We need to hurry on. Number two, because of the certainty of reaping. He says, for in due season we shall reap. In due season we shall reap. The words there, in due, and particularly the word due, one commentator said this, in the season divinely appointed for reaping. I like that because God's timetable and my timetable rarely match. By the way, his timetable is always perfect, okay? You know, I want things done yesterday. God says, no, there's some things that have to come into place first. In the season divinely appointed for reaping, Isaiah 55, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, God said, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. When you leave church tonight and you get outside, look up. See how high the sky is and realize that as high as that is, that's how much higher God's ways are than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts. That's an amazing thought to think about tonight in the season divinely appointed. And this is what the Bible says. We shall reap. Not we might reap. Not there's a 95 or 98% chance of reaping. We shall reap. Why? Because God is faithful. And we can be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, he will finish it. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God will bring blessing for our obedience. We shall reap a reward. Now again, I mentioned this in Sunday school. Let me be very clear. This is not some gimmick that says, hey, if you give God some money, he's going to give you a whole bunch back. I actually read a story about a preacher who had built a box, and he set the box right down here in the front of the church, and he had it rigged up, you know, a vending machine, how you put your dollar bill in there and it sucks the dollar bill in. He had it rigged up that at the top he had one of those, and the bottom it would shoot some out. And so he went down to the front and he put that $5 bill in the top. He said, see this $5 bill? He said, this is like our missions offering. And he took that thing and he put it in that machine and it sucked it in, and out the bottom shot a $20 bill. And he said, see, that's how faith promise works. Can I just say it this way? This is a theological term. That's a bunch of baloney. That's a lie. By the way, God can do that if he so desires. But I gave you testimony this morning. Hey, we've been involved in faith promise giving for 31 years. I've never seen God give me a 20 for every five that I've given. By the way, if God did that, a lot more people would be involved in faith promise giving, wouldn't they? Wow. But I can tell you this, based on God's word, God will reward. And I'm going to say what I believe from God's word. That reward will mostly be in eternity. God will reward here, and by the way, he does. We've seen God reward us so often for our giving, way beyond anything we deserve. But God's really giving you and I the opportunity to lay up treasure in heaven. This is an amazing investment, by the way. You know, I remember when I was a kid, you used to put money in the bank. And remember, they used to give you that thing called interest. Some of you remember that? Yeah. Now you make a deposit and you get a service charge because you put money into the bank. That's pretty rough, you know. Hey, the Bank of Heaven's not like that. You can make a deposit any old time you want. And you know what? There's not going to be a thief that's going to come in there. There's not going to be any rust. There's not going to be any moth. There's not going to be a fire. This is something that lasts for all eternity. What a blessing. We shall reap. And you know what, by the way, if there's nothing else to reap, the one thing that I really want to reap is the reward of standing before Jesus Christ, falling at his feet, worshiping him, if he can say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, what a day. What a day. But we need to finish this. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Don't you kind of wish the verse ended there? Wouldn't that make it a little bit easier? But the third point of the message is the condition of the promise. He says here, if we faint not. If we faint not. That word if there, I call that a little big word. It's little because it only has two letters, but boy, it carries a big meaning sometimes. You know, yes, you can have dessert if you eat all of those Brussels sprouts first. That can be a rough one. Yes, you can go outside and play with all of your friends if all of your homework is done first. God says, yes, I will bless you if you are obedient. He says, yes, you will reap if you sow. So it's a little big word. It sets forth the condition of the promise that's being made. So what's the condition? He says, if we faint not. Now, I don't know about you. When I read that, I say, okay, I don't want to faint. I want to meet the condition. So how do I keep from fainting? Well, as I thought about that, I realized it really kind of takes us right back to where we started tonight in this message. If I watch my nutrition, if I make sure I exercise regularly, if I get the proper rest that I need, if I keep my focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, that will keep me from becoming weary. Thus, I won't get to the fainting part of that. So that's the first part of this. But, you know, as I gave that further thought, I also thought about these verses, and some of you are ahead of me, you're already there. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 and 31. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. By the way, the emphasis here is waiting on the Lord, not waiting for the Lord. Think about that. And what does it mean to wait on the Lord? When we think about waiting, you know, sometimes we think, all right, if I'm going to wait on somebody, I'll just find a good seat here and I'll sit down and I'll wait for them. And by the way, let me say that is an aspect of waiting. And it's something you and I, especially I, need to learn. There's times where we just need to sit and wait on the Lord. And that includes turning off our phone and our iPad and our computer and just getting out the Word of God and waiting on the Lord. But there's more involved than just that. Let me put this picture in your mind. If we were to go to a restaurant tonight, and no, McDonald's does not count as a restaurant, okay? If we went to a restaurant tonight and they took us to our seat and they put us in a booth or they put us at a table, eventually, hopefully soon, a person would come to our table. And that person, we would call them a waiter or a waitress. Now, we call them a waiter or waitress. Why? Because they're going to come and they're going to sit down in a chair and they're just going to sit there and wait with us? No, no, no. They're going to wait on us. What does that mean? They're going to serve us. And so you understand that when the Bible says to wait on the Lord, this involves a lot of what Pastor was talking about this morning, just keeping on, keeping on. Don't quit. Those things that we know from His Word that we're to be doing daily, continue with those things. Now, I'm going to tell you again, this upcoming missions year, there's going to be some mountains, there's going to be some difficulties you're going to come to, some storms, and you're going to say, how in the world? And to that I say, wait on the Lord. Let me give you this illustration, and I'll be through. I told you this morning, we started our ministry in Alaska in a place called Juneau in the capital city. Beautiful place, by the way. Southeast Alaska, absolutely beautiful. And one of the things that you will see everywhere in Southeast Alaska are eagles. They're all over the place. Just like you would see a robin or a blackbird or something like that around here, you'll see eagles there everywhere, especially when the salmon are running. You'll look at these evergreen trees up and down, and you see these white dots all up and down the trees, and that's the bald-headed eagles. They're just sitting there waiting for lunch. It's an amazing thing to watch. But the eagles are everywhere. And we lived in Juneau where we were at a duplex there, and Thunder Mountain Road is where we lived. And you come down the hard road, you turn off the hard road, turn on the gravel road, and that was our road. And where we lived was right there. The reason it was called Thunder Mountain Road is because if you would continue back Thunder Mountain Road, it was less than a mile, it wasn't long at all, you would literally, if you didn't stop, run right into Thunder Mountain because it just basically went straight up. It was just an amazing thing. Well, a lot of times I could stand in my driveway and I could look at the top of Thunder Mountain, and as I did, there were eagles up there flying around, just bunches of eagles. And if you've ever watched them fly, it's just majestic, just absolutely beautiful. So I'd stand there and watch and watch, and they're flying, they're just back and forth. And what was interesting is there were times when, as I would watch, that apparently there would be some sort of a gust of wind or an air, something that would come in underneath some of those eagles' wings, and boy, it would just pick them up. They would sail up to the top of that mountain over the other side, and they were gone just a matter of seconds. It was beautiful to watch. And as I thought about that, and I thought about Isaiah 40, and I thought about waiting on the Lord, I realized, you know, you and I sometimes, when we're flying, we come up to those mountains, those things that just seem like, how in the world could I ever get over that? How in the world could I ever get past that? How in the world could I ever get through that? What do we need to do? Just keep our wings out. Just keep flying. Don't quit. Continue serving the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Why? Because at the season divinely appointed, God will bring that breeze, that wind under our wings. And by, isn't it interesting that in Scripture, the Holy Spirit, wind is a symbolic designation of the Holy Spirit? And can you just picture this? He brings that wind under our wings and picks us up and takes us to the other side of the mountain. And we just say, thank you, Lord. As you think about this upcoming missions year, I warn you, Satan's not happy with anything you decide to do for Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to missions. But Jesus Christ is happy. He wants you to succeed. Wait on Him. Continue serving Him. Why? As Paul says, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap. If we faint not. Would you stand with me, heads bowed and eyes closed? And I just want to take a moment or two for us to consider, meditate on the Word of God tonight and what God has given us in just this short verse. With heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps God has spoken to you tonight in a special way. And I don't know how that would be or what that would be that God has said to you, but dare I say you do. And perhaps you'd like to just take these next few moments and talk with the Lord. If there's nothing else that you would pray about right now, pray and say, God, help me to be faithful to the commitment that you've laid on my heart for missions. As the pianist begins to play a hymn of invitation, if God's spoken to you in a special way, we invite you to come. You can come to the front. You can pray right down here. But at the very least, right there where you are, would you just take the next few moments in the silence of this time and talk with the Lord and say, Lord, help me to not become weary. Say, Lord, help me to not faint. Say, Lord, help me to wait on you and to trust you. Pastor will come in just a minute or two, and as the Lord directs him, and he'll take the invitation. But until he comes, would you just take these next few moments and talk with the Lord?
As our heads are bowed and you continue to pray, it did. I saw the message, as Brother Snyder said, just really a continuation of what was going on this morning. And thank God for that. I realize that many of you are waiting on that gust of wind. You're waiting for the Lord to come through and come through big. Well, I believe that the preacher man tonight just came to tell you, keep your wings out. Wait upon the Lord. He shall renew thy strength. And I know that some of you have been given to missions for many, many years. And you're thinking that, boy, it sounds a lot like the other years. Listen, folks, we didn't get in for this for the short haul. We got into it for the long haul, for the glory of God, to see people saved, to see them reached with the gospel. And I pray that you just do what God has led you to do. The altar's open, of course. You're welcome to come. Welcome to pray there in your seat. But I challenge you to take heart, to take to heart what he said. And that is to remain faithful. Wait upon the Lord. As a good waiter or waitress would come again and again, what can I get you next? And just constantly being sensitive when the Lord leads you to do something. Be ready for ministry. Be ready for the Lord to put someone on your heart. You need to go talk to that person. Be ready for the Lord to lead you to help somebody do this, that, or the other. And they that wait upon the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved. That's a Bible word, saved from a wicked place called hell that all of us deserve to go. And you're not sure that you're saved from that, saved and going to heaven. If that's you tonight, I challenge you to come. Invite you to come. Right down here to the front, somebody would like to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Maybe you've got some other need in your heart, in your life, I should say, that you're saved, but you've never been baptized. You'd like to follow Christ in that. Or you'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and present yourself for that. Whatever your need is. One last thing while our heads are bowed there. If you haven't yet made it a matter of prayer what you should do for Faith Promise Missions, if you haven't made it a matter of prayer, then I certainly don't want you to put your card in tonight on your way out, because you need more time than that to pray. But if you've already prayed and you know what God has led you and your family to do or you to do, then I tell you, you're welcome to leave the card in the offering plate this evening. We'll tally all those up. We'll be giving you the numbers as they come in just so you can rejoice. But if you've not yet started making a serious approach to God about praying what you should give, I want you right now in this service to promise the Lord, say, Lord, I will this week. I'm going to really seek you about what you want me to do. You know my finances, Lord. He knows it inside and out. You know what I've got. You know what all about me. So, Lord, I'm going to really seek you about that. And I challenge you, if you haven't made that start of prayer, that you commit to the Lord tonight. Lord, I'll be praying. I'm going to be praying this week, so I'll know what you would have me do. You cannot go wrong when the good Lord leads you. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the wonderful time to be in your house. Thank you for the Snyders being here. Lord, I pray that you bless them. I know they could have been so many different places, but they chose to pull out and come to see us, and I'm grateful for that. I pray that you'd put your blessings upon them. I pray you'd keep them safe as they travel around and minister for your name's sake. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would just give them health, give them strength, give them safety, give them their finances that they need. And Lord, use them in a special way. And then again, I pray for our church. And folks, as we all pray, I want you not only to pray about what you should do, but pray for our church that, Lord, I pray that we would see, Lord, I'm praying for over 300,000 that would be committed over the next 12 months, would go to worldwide missions. I pray that you would let us see that, dear Lord. Regardless of what the number is, I trust, dear Lord, that you'll use it to see people saved, bring them to yourself, and use us in that small little way of giving. Thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for our time tonight. And we'll pray your blessings upon it. I do pray for Brother Jackson and all the folks that will help with the Amazing Grace Mission Booth this week, dear Lord, that you would anoint those soul winners. I pray that they would be, Lord, sensitive to you. And I pray that you would lead people to that booth. And I pray that folks would be saved. And I pray for our booth as well, that we could have good representatives of the church, but good representatives, more importantly, of you, dear Lord. And I just pray that you'd use us at the fair this week. Well, thank you for all that you do, and bless it all, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what a joy to be in church tonight, and there are several things that are going on. If you are helping with the Buffalo Ridge booth, then you don't need to sign up now. Just head to the Blue Room. But if you've already signed up, head to the Blue Room. If you've failed to sign up but you still want to help, then go see Brother Daniel in the Blue Room. We'll have that meeting, give you some things to do, protocol and whatnot for working the booth. And then if you missed the meeting with Brother Jackson, then he'll be out by his table. You can get there and get caught up as quick as you can. It may take a little while, but you can see him after that. And then also they're still signing up for, I believe, the ladies' Bible study booklets. And ladies, I again make one more plug to encourage you to do that. And then also, if you want one of the church t-shirts, I think it'll be a blessing to you, and we'll take orders for that as well. Anything else? All right. Thank you so much for being in church. Hope you get by and see the Snyders. I'm going to dismiss you all, Brother Miss Snyder, out by the booth and by the table, that is. And I hope you'll get by and see them and thank them for coming. God bless you. You're dismissed. Oh dear.